Clayton County Sheriff SWAT team, along with Clayton County officials, stormed into DJ Drama's Gangsta Grills recording studio and cleaned the place out.
There were 17 individuals who were detained. I believe there were at least two individuals that we were interested in and that were actually arrested that were the subject of the warrants.
Authorities say the two men arrested for making and selling illegal CDs are 27-year-old Donald Cannon and 28-year-old Tyree Simmons, also known as DJ Drama and DJ Cannon.
All right, what's good, everybody? This is Dex Digital from the Mixtape Show, and I'm here with Ms. Aisha Shahida Simmons, an award-winning African-American feminist lesbian documentary filmmaker, international lecturer and activist, and go ahead and say what's up to everybody.
Peace, everyone. I'm really glad to be on the program. Thanks, Dex.
Right, yeah. And so right now we're actually speaking about the event that probably everybody's familiar with by now, which happened on, I believe, January the 16th with DJ Drama and Cannon. And you have a unique insight on this because you're actually Drama's sister, correct?
I am.
Yeah.
His older sister.
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah, basically, I mean, a lot of people have heard about this. You know, they heard about it through different channels, you know, whether it be, I guess, MTV News did a segment on it recently and, you know, various other local news segments. But if you could, why don't you describe, you know, how you heard the news and basically what happened from your standpoint?
Sure. On the 16th, just felt like another regular day for me until in that evening I received a call from Drama's partner, Soyini, who left a message. I didn't answer the phone. She said, I want you to know, Tyree, as his name is in jail. And he and Don are in jail without bond. And so needless to say, I called her back immediately and was like, what's going on? And then I heard, then she explained to me that there were a SWAT team had raided the affiliate's music group studio and had arrested, confiscated all of their equipment, CDs, everything, and including cars, computers, and arrested Don and Drama that evening, and they were without bail. So I immediately called, our family, and we started getting the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you could step back briefly, a lot of people are going to be confused about this, because some people may have not even heard about this going down yet.
Okay.
So, you know, we've got, well, internationally famous DJ, and, you know, we've got agents coming through, and armed, correct? These agents were armed.
Right.
And so, why did this occur? I mean, you know, how many people were there? I mean, what exactly was the situation?
I got you. I'm sorry for it. Yeah, I'm operating under the assumption that people know. What happened was approximately 30 agents, SWAT teams with dogs, guns.
With dogs?
Raided the office.
Okay.
And basically, they were being accused of, at the time, selling bootleg material, which is something that Drama and Don do not do. They do not sell bootleg material. Mm-hmm. What they sell is artist-sanctioned original music.
Right.
So they weren't, like, remaking other people's albums. They weren't selling that.
Right.
And so it's very clear to me that based on that raid, that they expected to find drugs and or illegal arms. Because if, let's just say that is the case. Let's say they were selling bootleg materials. Do you need to roll in 30 strong, guns, dogs, throwing people on the floor over some illegal tape? So it's clear to me that they thought that they were going to find other illegal stuff. I mean, in my opinion, it's clear to me they said, well, if all else fails, we know that they'll have drugs and guns, which they did not. So now we had a situation of complete, I feel like, terrorism and police brutality for nothing.
Right. And so you said basically, and I actually saw the report on this. There was a, I'm going to misquote the guy, but there was an officer on there, or a lieutenant or something like that, who basically said, you know, usually when we do things like this, we find, you know, other crimes, you know, drugs and things like that go hand in hand. So basically you're saying they were pretty much expecting to find something like this and they didn't.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Fox Atlanta News that evening, January 16th, they reported the story, and it was only, the only talking heads were the police. And
right.
So, and that was exactly what he said. And it's very clear to me that it's just based on this racist stereotype that this is what all black men and men of color do, is that mm-hmm. they, you know, they say they're doing hip hop, but really they're selling drugs and, mm-hmm. and you know, dealing in illegal arms. And so, I mean, that's why they came in. Because my thing is that if what they were accused of was true, then why not send them a cease and desist letter? Like what, you know, just kind of saying stop all activities. And to the best of my knowledge, that was never received from Drama or any members of the affiliate. So it was like what happened was they just came in and raided the studio and put my brother was face down on the ground with a gun to his head. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I think about in a replay in my mind, particularly in this, you know, era of just people being shot and killed indiscriminately is,
right.
Suppose he made the wrong move. Suppose he asked a question that pissed somebody off.
Exactly.
Suppose he reached in his pocket. He could be dead. And for what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is actually a question I was going to ask you because, you know, the memory of, you know, Sean Bell and things like this are not, you know, this is not far off at all.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? This is, you know, we're what? 3 months away from that, if that.
If that, this yeah, is, it was in November.
This is extremely recent. I mean, I think, you know, I know if I was in the situation, that would be exactly what was going through my head. You know, if I make a wrong move or something like that, and that really, you know, I don't think it's much of a stretch here to say that something like that really could have occurred, especially if you have that many agents in one area.
Easily. And I just need to say, I mean, the studio was very nice, and we're not talking about some huge venue where, because I'm trying to imagine 30 people storming that space. I mean, I can't, like, what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that the members of the affiliates, I mean, they had interns, there were, you know, there were younger people working there, college students, folks who were trying to get their foot in the door, who were, you know, working and helping out and stuff like that. So people who probably knew nothing. I mean, because everybody was attacked, if you will. I mean, there were only two people incarcerated, which were Drama and Don Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone was there. I mean, there were women members on staff who were also, I mean, everybody's stuff was, you know, confiscated. And the way, like I said, the way in which they did it, I mean, just, you know, it's just, to me, it's just a form of terrorism, frankly. And again, I asked for what? And I believe that they thought that if all else fails, we'll find illegal drugs. And so then
right.
the issue would have been, we found drugs at the affiliate studio.
Right, right, right. Which seems, whatever warrant they had, that definitely seems like an abuse of that.
Exactly.
Right, and so
exactly.
Basically this was called in by the RIAA. This is who did this, or, I mean, who requested
Yeah, from
requested
what, again, yeah.
to happen?
Well, it's the RIAA definitely, I think, sent the troops in, or mm-hmm. in, you know, concert with them. It was again because they're saying that Don and Drama are selling counterfeit music,
right.
which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, Don and Drama, the work that they do promotes the artists such as Jeezy, such as T.I.,
exactly.
Lil Wayne. I mean, there's so many folks. So in many ways, they, through their own way, that they are supporting the record industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
you know, so for them to, you know, but I believe that it's about, you know, folks, specifically people of color, being entrepreneurs and doing it on their terms. And I think that that's really the issue. The issue is about money.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the money that is made from the work that they do, I feel like it's probably pocket change or, you know, someone's expense account at
right.
a label.
Uh-huh.
But it's still any amount of money is wrong.
Right. And I want to get to that in a moment. But one thing that I noticed, and actually the way that we connected, actually, to let the listeners out there know, is that you wrote an article for allhiphop.com, or at least it appeared on allhiphop.com. I want to say pretty much appeared immediately after this happened, correct?
Yes, I
okay.
did. I wrote it on the 17th and sent it out, and then people have been posting it everywhere.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I first saw it on All Hip Hop, so I wasn't sure if it was directly for them or if that was just something you'd written independently.
Yeah, no, I wrote it independently. It was just, I felt so frustrated and so disempowered
right.
about the situation. And I could already tell that there were so many articles about what it meant for the music industry and what it meant for artists. And I think that those were important discussions.
Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of all that, we were losing the fact that 30 members of the SWAT team with dogs and guns came raiding into a studio. Like, my thing is that we need to question, is this the way that we respond to these issues?
Right. Yeah. And one thing that I, then going hand in hand with that, one thing that I remember that really struck me that you wrote in that article was you brought up Enron. You know, we're talking about, you know, and these people basically, they're under, you know, they're being charged, you know, under RICO, under racketeering. And, you know, we've got these, you know, people doing, you know, far, far shadier things, Enron. And one thing you mentioned was that, you know, obviously I wasn't there. And but, you know, wondering, you know, did they bring in guns and, you know, agents, you know, to lock these dudes up?
No, exactly. I mean, when we think about the thousands of lives that were destroyed from employees of Enron and WorldCom, and specifically, and you know, and you think about, I mean, Ken Lay is now deceased, who was the CEO of Enron,
right?
But you think about how he was treated. There were no, you know, he was not put on the ground face down with guns to his head. And people's lives are ruined as a result of Enron.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody's life is ruined economically or anything as a result of what Drama and Don Cannon.
They made a lot of people's lives better.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So we think about how corporate crime is rewarded, you know, which is completely illegal. And yet something that Drama and Don are doing, which is legal, and how that is, you know, how that is punished.
Mm-hmm. That kind of hit me, too, because I was like, yeah, that's definitely a really good point. Because, you know, when we're dealing with something like corporate crime, you know, everything's done very civil. You know, we're done handling courts. But, you know, once a couple brothers are making some money, you know, they're running with the dogs.
No, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's just a constant reality, you know, because, I mean, as my friends who are attorneys and, you know, folks who I know who do work in corporate America, they say that they get cease and desist letters. People walk in, you're served papers.
Right.
That did not happen.
And so, okay, let me take a break right here. So you're saying they didn't receive any kind of cease and desist letters or anything like that?
To the best of my knowledge, no.
Okay.
You know, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, no, they did not receive that. And I know that there's been stuff going around on the internet saying that they have been. And so I'm not Drama. I'm not Ken Don.
Right.
To the best of my knowledge, they did not receive those papers.
Right.
The thing is, the other thing is that these are legitimate businessmen. I mean, it's not like this was something underground. Everybody, you know, he's got hundreds of thousands of friends, Drama, on his MySpace page.
Right.
His website. So this is not, it wasn't a secret. He was featured in the movie ATL.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on, you know, MTV, BET. So it's not, you know, if you didn't know, if you kind of stepped into the situation, you would think this was some kind of illegal underground activity. And it was not. Absolutely not.
Ask anybody about this dude, and they, you know, they'll be able to tell you.
Exactly.
These things are done with the approval, and, you know, if you get on the Gangsta Grills mixtape, you know, you made it, basically.
Right. Exactly. And yet, this is how. I feel like, and this is how they're rewarded. I mean, because, like I said, the work that they do helps the record industry. It helps them immensely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they're rewarded.
Right.
You know, gun to the head, face to the ground, and incarcerated without bail.
Mm-hmm. Right. Another thing that I want to quote you real quick, if you don't mind. One thing you said near the end of your article, quote him right here, is, "I'm explicitly clear that the music entertainment industry power structure has a very serious problem with people of color making profits on their terms in a multi-billion-dollar industry that they created," which of course would be hip hop. So if you could expand on that real quick, because I thought that was really powerful what you said right there.
Well, you know, as you just said from my quote, is that this is an international multi-billion-dollar industry.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of where we want to say hip-hop was created, I mean, because there's so many debates, we do know is that people of color created it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, Black and Latino people created this genre.
Mm-hmm.
And they are constantly reinventing it, or we are constantly reinventing as a people. And the industry has definitely been able to kind of monopolize and direct and be in control of what's out there and all of that, but they are making billions of dollars off of it. And so when entrepreneurs in the hip hop field create their own niches that's kind of outside of the corporate sanctioned record industry, mm-hmm. then those people are punished and squashed.
Right.
I mean, it in many ways it's like a mafia. Like you have to do it within within their sphere, or you can't do it at all. And yet they are completely dependent upon, you know, all of these artists and, you know, to create this music, to get it out. I mean, without these mixtapes, people may not know who some of these artists are today as a result of Gangsta Grill.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's not like they're signing, you know, that they, and as a result, these people get deals with major labels. But what happens is, as I said, you know, you just quoted, is that folks are basically, they're trying to squash them and censor them and control it. I believe that what they ultimately want to do is control the mixtape. And before, it wasn't a threat because it didn't get so much visibility, so much notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it is, they're trying to figure out, I believe, how to control it, how to kind of create some way in which they are in control, which means that the money comes from them. And it ultimately means that they will decide as opposed to other people deciding. Because I think that, you know, whatever issues or critiques that folks have, that I think in some ways it's been more of a way where people, folks whose ears were closer to the ground knew what people were listening to, mm-hmm. as opposed to the industry telling us what to listen to in terms of in this specific genre. And that's again why I said, like, all these discussions about what it means ultimately in terms of will we be able to sell mixtapes and all that kind of stuff, those are important discussions. But I don't want us to miss the big picture, which is about really, you know, disenfranchising people of color from selling art that they create.
Right. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you. And that's one thing that was really important to me, because, like you said, you know, we can discuss, you know, the implications as far as legality, you know, the artistic implications of this. But, you know, you feel free to not co-sign me on this. But, you know, a lot of times I feel like, you know, and this is just, you know, kind of slap in the face, kind of wake people up. You know, a lot of times it seems like we're kind of, you know, still living basically in a time of slavery where, you know, we can go and, you know, we can go this far, but, you know, if we start getting too uppity, if we start getting too independent, you know, we're slapped down and say, hey, you need to stay within this box, you know, make us this money, but you can't really step outside of this and do it yourself.
Oh, I completely will co-sign with you on that. I totally agree. It's like sharecropping. You know,
yeah.
As long as you know, the moment you try to buy yourself off the land and buy your own piece of land, then oh no, then we're going to send a lynch mob out. You know, I mean, basically to get you and put you back in your place and use you as an example. Because I mean, I've gotten so many emails as a result of my editorial. People have been sending me emails or messages on my MySpace page from up and coming DJs, mixtape folks, who are saying, "Hey, brother, I don't know if I'm gonna do this anymore." So, you know, so regardless of ultimately what happens in this case, it definitely has sent out a message. It's reverberating. So, and
right.
That's what lynching is about. It's about putting people in their place.
It is, and it's
one,
about,
so you
yeah.
silence others.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely correct. This is modern-day slavery. This is, if you're not going to work on the record industry's plantation, then you're not working at all.
Right. And that's a scary idea for a lot
it
of people.
Is.
Like I got emails, too, which is half the reason why I did this, because I was getting emails from, you know, people who listen to the show and be like, hey, Dex, you know, like, I'm scared, man. I'm going to stop making mixtapes, or I'm going to stop recording. You know, how am I going to get support from mixtape DJs if they stop making, you know, if they stop making mixtapes?
Exactly. Exactly.
And we're the ones out here making this music.
Exactly. And it's the music that's the soundtrack to commercials, that's the soundtrack to films. I mean, you know, it as a result, because America's power in the position in the world, it becomes the, you know, it has influenced. I mean, people all over the world are creating their own versions of hip hop from, you know, all over the place. So this has so much. You know, it's reverberations throughout. I mean, because for me, it's been not only in this country, but also internationally. Like, what's going on? I mean,
right.
And so I really think that it's really important to me that, you know, that we don't just kind of let this go quietly. And I mean, you know, I mean, I have as my brother, I mean, as his sister, as Drama's sister, I mean, definitely as a family member, I've got my concern about what happens to my brother and Don and to the affiliates on a personal level.
Right, of course.
Death. But at the same time, in terms of just when we think about the whole industry level, I think that this is a clear sign that we, you know, we really need to start thinking about this and thinking about, you know, revisiting who controls what. And this is just, this has been the history of music, period. I mean, you know, I'm speaking about black folks, but I think it's probably awful. You know, we've been struggling to have our masses and have control of our music from the beginning. And yet our music in so many ways has been the soundtrack of America.
Right.
And yet we don't reap the benefits from that.
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
You know, and hip hop is the latest incarnation that has just, I think, you know, overpowered everything else in terms of its global outreach and what that means in terms of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And January 16th is, you know, what in terms of the raid and the arrest of you know, drama in Don is a clear example of, you know, of, like, putting folks back in their place.
Mm-hmm. That's, and, you know, I really feel like this is going to be a milestone. Like, people are going to look back at, you know, at January 16th and be like, this is when, you know, this is a turning point, regardless of what happens. You know what I mean? I think this is going to be...
Definitely.
You know, something that people look
back
at.
It'll never be the same.
No.
I mean, I don't know. You know, it will never be the same. But one of the things that I've learned when just looking at our own history is that we will reinvent something. We will recreate something if need be. I mean, I don't know what it means or how it will look.
Right.
But we're always, everything, that it's almost like we change the game. So, you know, it may take a minute, but it definitely won't be the same from what we've known it to be. It will never be the same.
Right. And you know, kind of pushing forward with that, you know, I'm gonna kind of call on your expertise here. You know, you're a documentary filmmaker. You know, you've done the No documentary. I gotta say, I'm gonna go see that. I gotta go see that now. There's people telling me I gotta go watch that. But
yes.
you've got a lot of experience as far as you know, putting things together, getting messages out, whatnot. One question I might pose to you is that, being that this, you know, the situation as it is, what do you think people should, you know, be thinking about now? What do you think people should be doing now, you know, kind of in light of recent events?
Gosh, that is a very,
if I might,
good
put that one to you.
Yeah, and I was like, woo! well, I think that we need to, I think there are many levels. I think that we need to keep abreast of what's going on with this case.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, and I mean, I know that the one person from the RIAA, which is the Recording Industry Association of America, something like that, but RIAA, one thing I know is that they received, like, I think in one day, 300 emails. And in the scheme of things, it's not a lot of emails when we think about how many people are in this country, but it is a lot of emails for somebody who probably doesn't on one case. So I think that we definitely need to continue to put pressure on the RIAA, not only solely about drama and Don Cannon, but just really about letting them know that they can't do this, because if they can do this with drama and Don and get away with it, then they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep, there'll be some other person or other entity that they feel like they need to go rolling in 30 deep or maybe 100 deep. So we really have to let them know that we're watching, and that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. I think that people should, you know, I mean, I don't want anybody to put themselves in danger, and we already know that we're already assumed guilty until proven innocent.
Right.
But I think that we should continue to create music, continue to make mixtapes. I mean, I just think that it's crazy. I mean, particularly if it's an original music. I mean, that's just the craziness of it.
Yeah.
Not like somebody's replicating Beyonce's album or something.
Right.
You know, or reselling 50 Cent's album. It's artists using, you know, creating their own original music that's not on a label or whatever. So I think that we can't allow that fear to stop us from creating.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one, our cultural work, our cultural contributions to our, you know, is one of our, you know, most powerful assets. And we can't allow this to stop. I come from a very political and activist family. We both, Tyree and I, Drama and I do. And I just think that we really have to, as I said, keep our eyes and ears on this case because of what it means for all of us who are in this industry. And like I said, holding them accountable. And one of the ways is emails, writing pieces. You're doing this program. I did my editorial. I mean, I just think to just keep making it visible. That's how word got out. I mean, you know, just I think email has been one is one of those things that I'm sure the powers that be go, why did we let this happen? I mean, you know, look at us. We connected in cyberspace. We're on
right.
opposite sides of the country.
Right.
You know?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So really, you know, I mean, I come, you know, using music, using art, and also using activism to, you know, hold these systems in place, hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's you know, this. I think that's definitely responsibility for everybody. You know, whether you're artists or, you know, producer or listener or whatever you're doing. You know, just to, you know, it's our form. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, we all do it. I mean, for me, you know, I write, so hence I wrote that piece. I'm a mm-hmm. filmmaker, so I made, you know, for me, violence against women is near and dear to my heart. I made a documentary
right.
about it. So we have to use whatever forms it is, mm-hmm. you know, to spread the message.
Mm-hmm.
To spread the message of resistance to this, you know, corporate power structure that is really, you know, trying to, you know, define who we are and tell us how to do. Tell us how to promote who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so if I might get, you know, a little bit personal right now, how is the mood around the household right now? Because I mean, you know, that must have been, you know, pretty shocking first to get that, you know, that phone call, and then you know, just to basically see, you know, your brother going to jail for, you know, basically nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So how is the mood around, you know, around the house? I mean, I guess he's got the court date is next month. I believe I heard.
Yeah, I mean, it's we don't have an exact date, but it'll be coming up at some point. I mean, mm-hmm. The mood is, I mean, I live in Philadelphia, and I mean, I flew down, our parents flew down.
Right.
And so the mood is I think the first goal was to get him out.
Right, of course.
You know, he is out, he didn't get, you know, and then it's really, it's just, I guess, a cautious optimism, you know, mm-hmm. just trying, because there really, some, in my opinion, again, I don't know, I mean, I'm sure that there are some technical issues as it pertains to something, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of the way in which they went about it, I don't see how this is the case in which maybe they had anticipated being. So, you know, we're really hoping and believing that, you know, that they will be found innocent of the charges. I'm not even exactly clear of the charges, I need to just say. And you know, it's quite interesting. You know, I know in terms of what the media is hearing and all of that. So it's just, I mean, the mood is just trying to, you know, we got good attorneys,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we're just, like I said, we're not out of the woods, but we're cautiously optimistic.
Cautious optimism. Well, hey, could be worse.
Which is better than being pessimistic.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
But yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm grateful. I mean, I'm sorry that it, you know, it happened at the studio. It was outrageous, but I'm grateful that it didn't happen, you know, at my brother's home, at Don's home or whatever. Because, you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, I just think about, you know, my nieces and, mm-hmm. you know, my sister-in-law, you know, I mean, I don't even know, I can't even imagine. I mean, in terms of having that, you know, we're inundated with cop shows and all that, but I can't even imagine. And like I said, to have all your stuff confiscated, your computer, your car.
Right, your car. So it, take your car for it. This is
exactly.
Making bootleg
and,
records,
you know,
in your car? I mean, what do they take that for? So,
you know, I guess for transporting. The thing is that he's not, you know, this is, Atlanta's not New York City. You're not going to hop on, you know, the subway. So not having a car is a tremendous inconvenience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's why I say it's still a form of terrorism in that. But, you know, so, okay, you know, you shut him, you know, you arrest him and all that. But now, you know, people, you don't have a car, or you don't, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you don't have a computer. You don't, it's all those things. I mean, you know, there are ways people have computers and you can get a car. But still, just that initial thing. And for me, clearly upset and outraged about what happened to my brother. I think about all the unknown people that this happens to,
mm-hmm.
who don't have resources or notoriety that the whole, you know, that so many people throughout this country internationally are focusing and supporting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just, it's I mean, I know about the prison industrial complex. I know about the criminal injustice system in this country, but it brings it home when it's one of your own, you know,
right.
And you just kind of, I mean, that's what I think about. I think about, man, and then, you know, and grateful that, you know, Drama and Don aren't Sean Bell, you know, over some, you know, that,
right.
you know, and mourn for the family of Sean Bell.
Right.
Definitely mourn. But you just think about, you know, like I said, twinkling of an eye. We could, you know, he could not be here.
You need people like me, I'm the bad guy. Point your fingers and ask why. You need people like me, I'm the bad guy. Say hi to the bad guy. Say hi to the bad guy. Say hi to the bad guy. You need people like me. Sing, sing, hey, yo. The villain is back, my theme song playing. I tie your thing.
Yo, 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 what's good? Mixtapeshow.net. Once again, it's your boy Dex Digital. And yeah, you heard it here first. I think that interview really speaks for itself. Gotta get some shout-outs real quick, though. First shout-out goes to Sister Aisha Simmons, you know, for her original piece and, of course, for the interview. Links to her documentary and her personal site can, of course, be found on the website. Once again, www.mixtapeshow.net. Next up, obviously, next shout out definitely goes out to, you know, DJ Drama Cannon, you know, saying everybody in the affiliates and actually everybody who's affected by this act of police brutality. You know what I'm saying? Drama Cannon, you know what I'm saying? I still got my Gangsta Grill CDs. You know what I'm saying? Stay up. And you already know what it is, man. The, you know, the RA might hate, but, you know, the fans know, the streets know. So, you know, just stay up and keep doing what you're doing. After that, you know what I'm saying? I gotta definitely say shout outs to everybody who's been getting active on this issue. You know what I'm saying? Remember, and actually everybody who's about to after hearing this episode, hopefully. You know what I'm saying? Remember, this isn't just about Drama or Cannon or, you know, the affiliates music group, but it's really about us, you know what I'm saying, as people of color, and beyond that, as you know, artists, you know, producers and fans, you know, decide that we're not gonna be pushed around and showing people that much. So, you know what I'm saying? That's really what I'm talking about. And next, definitely gotta give shout outs, you know what I'm saying, to the RIAA. And actually, you know what, forget me doing shout-outs. I'm going to let y'all give some shout-outs to them. So first up, we got Mitch Bainwall, the chairman and CEO of the RIAA. If you'd like to get a hold of him and let him know what you think about this issue, you can go ahead and get a hold of him. MBAINWOL@RIAA.com. Next up, we got Kerry Sherman, Mr. Kerry Sherman, who is the president of the RIAA. You can also get a hold of him if you'd like to speak to him. That would be CSHERMAN@RIAA.com. And of course, if you want to get a hold of the webmaster at RIAA.com, you can do that. Once again, WEBMASTER@RIAA.com. That's their default email, rather. And hey, if you don't like to use a computer, you might as well give them a ring. First phone number, 202-775-0101, and that guarantee will work. And if you'd like to get a hold of him in Miami, you can do that as well. The number for that is 305-444-3114, extension number 11. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying to harass anybody, but, you know, basically you pay these people's paychecks. So, you know, you might as well get a hold of him and let him know what you think about this. Anyway, that's it for me. You know what I'm saying? Dex Digital, mixtapeshow.net, 2007. And it is what it is. Shout out to all the fans. And I'll catch you next week. Peace.
Mixtapeshow.net.